Hello, everyone. This is your host, Dr. Maggie Ray, and I am so excited to welcome you to our second annual Creating Unstoppable Teens event, an online interview series all about what we can do as parents and educators to help teens develop the skills they need to thrive, both in and out of the classroom. The reason I'm hosting this event is because in my work as an academic life coach and ADD coach for teens and young adults, I talk with a lot of parents who are getting to that point where their teens are going to be leaving home for college in just a few years, or in some cases just a few months, and they're starting to get a little bit nervous about whether their teens have all the skills they're going to need to thrive on their own. And I think this makes a lot of sense, because if you think about how many years we spend in the classroom teaching our kids academic subjects like math and science and history, they've had years to learn how to be a good student and learn the content they need for school. But there are so many other skills that they need to be successful in life that can oftentimes really make or break their success that they're not necessarily learning in the classroom. And so it really falls upon us as parents and educators to make sure they have all the skills they're going to need to be successful. And sometimes that's a challenge to know how to prepare them for the real world and to know, okay, well, have I done everything to prepare them? Do they have all the skills that they need in order to be successful once they leave home? So I know there are a lot of questions out there for parents about what else could I be doing, what else should I be doing to help set my teen up for success. And so that's a big reason why I wanted to host this event, is to share this information with you and have one spot where you can go, where we've brought together experts from a wide range of fields who can all come together and share their wisdom and insights with you about how to create teens who are truly unstoppable and who have the skills they need to thrive, not just in the classroom, but beyond that, to their career and to their life. And one of the skills that I find is really not something students are prepared to do is when it comes to careers and even to colleges, is knowing how to present themselves effectively. So knowing how to interview effectively, how to answer questions intelligently, and how to really present themselves well from a professional standpoint. It's something they're often not prepared to do. And so that's a big part of the reason why I've invited my friend and colleague Elaine Rosenblum to talk with us today. She's going to be sharing more information about what every teen should know about interviewing. And as anybody who's listening who has a teen knows, a lot of teens don't know the first thing about interviewing. So everything Elaine shares is going to be really valuable today. Elaine's a great person to talk about this because she's the founder of ProformU, a firm that specializes in teaching teens and young adults all about collaborative communication, conflict management, and negotiation skills. And this is something that Elaine has a lot of professional background in. So she started off her academic career at the University of Texas at Austin, earned a bachelor's in advertising in the College of Communications, went to law school in New York City, and she's performed at really a very high level professionally for many years. So she's a member of the New York State Bar Association. She's an expert in collaborative negotiation, and I mean, if anyone who knows lawyers knows, right, this is if you want a situation where you've got really tough negotiations and really tough communication to deal with, you would want to talk to a lawyer about it, and Elaine has a lot of background in that, and also spent 13 years in New York City working with several global ad agencies and collaborating with Fortune 500 professionals. So she's really performed at the highest levels professionally, and understands a lot about what it takes to communicate with people at that level and to present yourself professionally and have these sorts of negotiations and collaborative discussions in a really effective way. And so through ProformU, Elaine is able to share that expertise and that knowledge with rising professionals and help them understand, how do you present yourself at a job interview, at a college interview? How do you prepare for a professional career in a way that's really going to set you up for success? So Elaine, as I mentioned, is a great person to really share this information, and her students get a lot out of working with her because she really has such a great background professionally and such a wealth of knowledge on this topic. So I'm really thrilled to have her here today to share this information with you as well. So welcome, Elaine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Maggie, for having me. I am so looking forward to sharing all I've learned in my own travels in the professional world, as well as what I learn every day from my students and clients that I'm working with. And I have a lot of good information that I think can be very helpful to every single teen out there in terms of what they need to know about interviewing and how to prepare.
Wonderful. Well, I thought maybe we could just kick off by talking a little bit about the scenarios in which a teen is going to have to think about interviewing, because sometimes this is a skill that's not considered very often. I think a lot of teens don't really think about interview skills as something that's important for them to develop. So I also know there are more contexts in which they need to do this than they might be thinking of. So could you share with us a little bit of information about the types of scenarios where you see interview skills really coming in handy for students?
Well, it's a great question, and I'm seeing it happen more frequently where the skill is required. And some of that goes to just the number of slots that are available for students in a college environment, but also the number of internships that require interviews now and just the level of competition that we're facing. And so interviews are being required more and more, often earlier. And there's another variable in this whole interview equation whereby there are special programs, summer programs, academic programs that students want to apply to, scholarship programs they want to apply to, that are all requiring interviews. And there's this outside variable in this whole equation, which is technology. And what's happening is, and this is a real struggle for parents, is that their children are growing up very differently than they did in terms of the level of technology that these kids have been raised with. There's a whole generation coming up that has been raised on smart technology. Their preference is to communicate via text. And that has cut into their articulation skills because they are used to abbreviating when they communicate. And so when they get into a face-to-face environment or even a video environment where they have to have a conversation about their skills or presenting themselves, they don't have the actual tools to do it because the way they typically communicate is in a texting environment. So what I am doing a lot of times is not only explaining the interviewing process, but explaining just how to have a conversation face-to-face or video-to-video, or it could even be over email, but a full conversation where they're expressing themselves in full sentences.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great point you make that that's an underutilized skill now. So many students are communicating via these channels where it's 120 characters or it's just really quick back and forth, and they're not expressing themselves clearly and articulately and professionally. So when it comes time to do that for a private school interview or a summer internship interview or a scholarship interview or applying to college, a lot of them are very ill prepared. So
right.
I know you
there's
work
a lack
on this
of,
all day long.
Right. There's a lack of specificity there. They tend to speak in these very broad generalities, and you ask them a question, and they will give you a one-word answer that is very, very generalized and says nothing. And so the way I work with them is I start asking them for more information. If they give me a one-word answer, I'll say, and what do you mean by that? And I'll give them a very open-ended question and give them time to sort of round it out and refine their answer. And then sometimes I loop in some words and I say, so is this what you mean? And I build the muscle. I start building the muscle memory with them right there and then.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm curious, do you find that that affects students' natural tendency to reply, or do they have to sort of depend on having somebody stringing them along like that? Because I know some people who feel like, well, certain teens are just great communicators and other teens aren't. Do you find that this is more of a learned skill or more something you just have or you don't?
I mean, there's certainly people who are naturals, and those people are less likely to come in and visit with me. Sometimes I even have naturals who want to perfect their self-presentation. I find that most young people today struggle with this skill set. And but what is interesting is once I start working with them and I start really picking their brains and start looping back to them, and they are getting feedback and we're refining what their point of view is on whatever it is, they start to like it. They feel very empowered by it, and the specificity of it makes them feel good. They're like, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like it's in there and they don't even have the skill to articulate it or to present it, but they really want to. And that feeling of being understood is very gratifying for them, because it's a human need to be understood. And so to be able to make oneself be understood is an exciting process. I think they start to really enjoy it and see that there's great value in that human bond that comes from being able to express yourself and be understood is very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great way to frame it, too, that it's not just about, oh, let's get this interview, but it's really about, okay, how can we learn to express ourselves in a way where we're going to be understood and we're going to be able to communicate what we mean clearly and effectively and have the other person in this conversation really get us. And it's hard to do if you're not communicating effectively.
So, right, it's almost impossible. And you know, you and I can take this to its logical conclusion. And, I mean, if we pull back a little bit, I mean, there's all kinds of issues with, you know, teen depression and anxiety. And that anxiety and depression is because they're not having conversations and they're not having human-to-human relationships and they do not feel understood. And so by helping them gain these skills, it's really helping them, you know, bond and evolve and have relationships with other human beings, which we are, as humans, wired to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is basic human need we're talking about.
Absolutely. So I like that you're teaching these skills, because as we're saying here, this goes way beyond just being well prepared for an interview. It's really a life skill that's important for them to have. So I know they, most teens don't know the first thing about interviewing. So I'm curious if you had a teenager who's not at all prepared for their interview, and they just say they have something coming up, like a high school, they're applying for a private high school, or they're applying for a summer job, and they need to go to an interview, and they don't have the first clue about how to do that. What are some of the best pieces of advice that you could give a teen in that situation that would have the biggest impact?
Well, I think the first thing I do is I start just by having a very, very non-judgmental conversation with them and just sort of shooting the breeze with them and putting them at ease. And then I start explaining, it's a teaching process, and I explain what's the purpose of an interview. And I might throw out there and say, what do you think the purpose of an interview is? And they might not have anything to say. That might throw them or you know, make them feel a little bit defensive. And I would say, well, the only purpose of an interview is to, you know, find out who you are and what skills you might have and what you bring to the party. And it's just like telling a story. It's just the story of you. And I explained to them that the reason that interviewing is just great storytelling, and that you've been getting stories, you've been getting information in a story format since you were a baby. Your parents read stories to you and told you stories. And when you watch a cartoon, it's a story, and it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that same exact proposition is what interviewing is all about. You're going to tell the story of you in a very, very, from a very specific angle, and that is the angle of what the interviewer needs to know about you. And once you understand what the interviewer is looking for, telling your story is not going to be hard, because it's your story. And and the more authentically you tell it, the better it's going to be. And you've lived this story, so it's not going to be a hard story to tell. So it's one of the easier things that they can learn how to do. And once you put it in that framework, I think it becomes a very, very non-threatening proposition. And they start to enjoy it, and then they're sort of you know, bonding with me, and we're having this, you know, just friendly conversation about who they are and what they want to do, you know, in the short term and maybe in the longer term. And then it becomes kind of a natural proposition instead of this, you know, I'm going to be judged and I might not, you know, meet, you know, the demands of the interview, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Presenting it in that way of, oh, you're telling a story and you're bonding with this person and sharing some more about just what your experiences have been sounds like a great way to take the pressure off.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and as you're saying, it is easy because it's their story, but I also am hearing how valuable it would be for them to practice that a little bit and to know that, hey, they're going to ask me certain questions. I mean, do you generally recommend that students practice their answers to certain questions, and what are the most common ones they would really want to have an answer or story ready for?
Well, there are some very definite questions that are almost sure to be part of certain types of interviews. In general, for teens, they would be, tell me about yourself, or in some instances, if it's relevant, walk me through your resume, and what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, and tell me about a time you were successful, tell me about a time you were a leader, tell me about a time you failed. A lot of people struggle with that because they're embarrassed or they don't want to make themselves look bad. And so I spend a lot of time normalizing failure because this is, again, a generation that not only struggles with articulation and conversation because of the technological component, but also they struggle a lot with just, in general, you know, Maggie, I've lost my train of thought, so we're going to have to cut that. I don't know where I was going with that. I lost it.
That's okay.
Okay.
Well, and
so
I can ask another follow-up question if you want.
Or do you want me another question?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting with the failure one in particular. I know that, like you said, some students are really uncomfortable with that idea of having failed at something. So there might be a temptation to lie or to make something up. If walk me through your resume, and maybe their resume isn't that great, and they might be tempted to exaggerate certain things. Especially with social media, people are often posting the best possible versions of themselves and leaving out some of the bad parts. So is it okay to do that in an interview? What would you counsel a teen to keep in mind?
I mean, I think that this is a generation that, like you said, like you brought up, you know, they're struggling with this failure issue. And I'm all about failure. I love failure. And I make failure okay. I think that anybody who's ever been really successful in life has failed a lot more than they've been successful. And I tell every one of my students that. So let's just enjoy our failure and be proud of it and figure out what we learned and how we're going to use it to be successful next time. And so this whole idea of making failure a negative aspect of life is just flat out wrong in my opinion. So that's the first thing I do is normalize failure. And then I help them talk about what their strengths are and what they what they're really, really good at and how did they get good at that. That's what an interviewer wants to hear, is how you got from A to B. And how did this become a strength of yours? Because the real trait or skill that interviewers are looking for is grit and the ability to fail, learn from it, and get up and try again. That is really what they're looking for. It's framed in a couple of different ways, communication, collaboration, creativity. Those are the buzz terms corporately. But that's grit underlying all of that. And I know Angela Duckworth just wrote a book about it, and it's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's great for teams to be aware of that, because like you've talked about a little bit earlier, there's this perception that I'm being judged, I need to be perfect, I need to look like I've got everything together. And if you share that with them, that could really shift their perspective that the interviewers aren't looking for somebody who's perfection, the embodiment of perfection. You're looking for somebody who, like you said, has that quality of grit, who can fall down and get back up and learn something from the process and not get defensive, get judgmental, get petrified of ever failing again, but that you're willing to kind of learn from the process and get up and try again. So sharing those failures is a totally safe thing to do.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And I think just explaining to them that the internet everything that you read on the internet is not necessarily true, and that you have to look at it with an analytical and a critical eye, and that, you know, lying is not ever going to serve you. And I typically give everybody a 5-minute conversation about honesty and having integrity, and how if you don't have your integrity, you've lost everything, and it is almost impossible to replace. And so you can't waste that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting you bring up honesty and integrity, and before you mentioned this whole process of social media and not everything you read online is true, and it just brings to mind for me this whole world of social media. I mean, students are interviewing, and they've got presumably social media profiles that are up online. What should they be thinking about when it comes to approaching an interview? Do they need to be careful about what they post? Should they be going back and removing posts? What do we need to be sharing with our teens who are going into these interview-type situations about their social media life?
Well, I encourage everyone to enable their privacy settings, take down any photographs that could be misconstrued in any way, shape, or form. It's very, very hard to predict how an interviewing organization would view someone's social media, or if they are going to view their social media. But why take the chance? So I encourage everybody to enable their privacy settings, scrub anything that is even borderline should be taken down, and then have a lesson about what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate to post. And it's very hard, because there's a lot of things that are now, we've blurred those lines of what is, quote, appropriate. And so it is very difficult for some people to understand how you draw that line. And so I just ask the younger the student, the more I say, just err on the side of just complete caution. And don't post, a lot of them, I say, take down your account. Don't even have an account. And it's very hard to encourage them to do that. And very few of my students would actually really go off the grid. But I really do say, when in doubt, take it down.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely the safest approach. Well, and I'm curious, too, because so many people are on social media so much today, and I'm just seeing this trend that students are reading less and less, and they used to have an interview question they would ask about what's the most recent book you've read, or what is one of the most interesting news stories you've seen recently. So I'm curious if you recommend that your students actually do reading before interviews or other things to prepare themselves just background-wise for the type of questions they're going to face, or do they just tend to talk about what they're seeing on social media?
You know, I mean, if you want to look at interviewing as somewhat of a strategic game or a chess game, one way to really, really distinguish yourself is to talk about books you've read and read what you're interested in. I do try to get my students engaged in books that might be interesting to them. I think they don't realize that there are a lot of books out there that they would genuinely be interested in reading that they could refer to in an interview. So that's the part of it that I try to bring to life, is like, let's find a book that you would like to read so that you can talk about it in an interview. There are some students who say flat out, Elaine, I do not read. Okay, that's fine. If you don't want to read, that's fine. Don't read, but have interest. If your interests are watching movies, then great. But I want you to be able to talk about something that's interesting that you do. And that whatever it is, I'll give you a great example. I had a young man who was interviewing for a leadership program that was abroad for a summer. It was the summer before his senior year of high school. It was a very competitive program. And he didn't read a lot, and he didn't enjoy reading. And okay, that's fair. He's been raised in this very, very technological environment. I get it. And I said, well, tell me what you do like to do. What is something about you that your friends might not even know about you that you're really, really invested in? And it turned out that he was very invested in this show that was about the FBI looking at serial killers. I can't remember. I'm blanking on the name of the show, but it was a show about serial killers. And he was obsessed with this show. And I said, well, why don't you want to go work for the FBI? And he said, I would love to go work for the FBI. And then we were off and running because it had synergies with this leadership program that he was going to that was abroad. It was in a region that was fraught with, terrorist issues. And so there was a link between his interest in the FBI and profiling and what this leadership program was. So we integrated that into his whole interview prep and what he was going to talk about when he talked about himself in the interview. And it really did distinguish him among the other candidates because he had this interest in this really unique angle of, law enforcement. And so I try to find the hook. What is it that's genuine about them that is related to whatever they're interviewing for? And because then it's easy. It's natural. We're not manufacturing anything, and I don't believe we should be manufacturing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great example of something where he liked to watch TV, he did not read, and we used it, and it worked for him.
Exactly. Well, and I love about what you shared, that a couple of things that I love about it. One is it's genuine. So this is something he's really interested in. Like you said, you're not manufacturing it. You're not making it up. But what you did that went beyond just what he might have done walking in was really connecting that with the position he was applying for and finding out, okay, well, why would I be a great fit for this position? And it's not just, oh, yeah, I like to watch the show. It's, okay, I'm fascinated by this show, and here's why. And here's how this is connected to the position I'm now interviewing for and why
right,
I think it would be such
exactly.
a great fit for me. That's a narrative. Like you said, it's a story about his background that all of a sudden makes the interviewers sit up and take notice. And he had that all along. It's just discovering it. And so it might be having these conversations with somebody like you, with even if you're not working with somebody to prep for these interviews, if you're a parent, sit down and have these conversations with your teen and say, okay, well, how could you create a story about why this position is great for you? What's been in your background? You know their background. You know what they're doing. Maybe you can help
right,
them make those
right.
links. Exactly.
Well, yeah.
But you need a link.
And you have to sort of say, okay, so my kid is obsessed or my child is obsessed with X, Y, or Z. How can we use X, Y, or Z and make it work for us? It exists, so let's leverage
mm-hmm.
it. And that's
exactly.
what I'm just taking the time to sit down and pick their child's brain and to the point where I finally drag it out of them. and sometimes it takes me an hour to do that.
Because they're not seeing those connections, and sometimes it is hard to see yourself.
Right. And and so I'm really looking for that passion, because I believe that it, that thing we're talking about, is everybody already, I think we have it. It's innate. We are innately curious human beings. And we're, you know, we're suffering from a lot of information overload, all of us, myself included. But we all have these fascinations and these things that excite us. And if we can tap into that, and start having a conversation about whatever that is, then that is so much fun to leverage in an interview setting.
Well, and people can tell. When you're talking about something you're passionate about, it comes across, right? You light up, and you just present yourself in a whole different way. So if you're a parent listening and you know those areas your teen is passionate about, what Elaine's sharing is so great, because it's basically taking those passions. You can't invent them. You can't tell your teen, okay, you need to get interested in this because this is what the interview is about. But you can make links between what they're already passionate about and the interview topic or the position or whatever it is. So that's a really, really great point you're making, Elaine. And one other thing I was just curious on, and this is a totally different topic, but something I've noticed in working with teens a lot, I'm sure you see this too, is this issue of being on time. And I know this is just from a presenting yourself professionally standpoint. A lot of times students, especially if they're just starting to drive, they don't necessarily have a great estimate of how long it takes to get places. They'll show up late, especially to first appointments. And so I'm curious if you have any recommendations about how to talk with your teen about this part of the interview process. How important is it to be on time? And what should they do to make sure they are, or if they're not, what should they do in that situation?
I would say that my number one piece of advice to anybody, any parent wanting to help their teen become interview ripe or prepared for an interview, is that being on time is the first rule, and it's number one. Because it sets the tone for the interview. And when I say being on time, that actually means if the interview is set for 4 o'clock, that means that you need to arrive at 10 to 4, not 3:59. And so I say be 10 minutes early. I love an interviewee who comes 10 minutes early. That tells me they are on top of their game. Another struggle that young people are having today is that they don't typically wear watches. They're very dependent on their phone for what time it is. And, you know, sometimes phones, you know, lose their batteries or go dead, and then you don't have a clock by which to gauge your time. So the first rule of thumb is, you know, be 10 minutes early. That's what on time means. That doesn't mean 1 minute before. And then the second rule that I really like to, you know, make a big deal about is that what do you do if you know that you are going to be late? You are not going to be on time. That means you're not going to be there 10 minutes early. And what do you do about it? And so I really like to tell students that I like to encourage them to be what I call anticipatory. And so if you're not going to be there 10 minutes before the interview is supposed to really start, then I want you to make a phone call, send a text, something to alert the person who is expecting you that you may not be on time. And what that does is it stops the clock. And I think it's incredibly important to stop the clock. And the reason it's important is because it shows respect for the other person's time. And when you're interviewing for a position, an internship, a scholarship, you are in the lesser bargaining position. I mean, this is, you know, my negotiation expertise at work now. Mm-hmm. And you are in the lesser bargaining position. And so you have to take responsibility for being respectful of the other person's time. That is your role when you're in a lesser bargaining position. And just explaining that, those rules of the game, and how that level of respect for another human being is critical. And it doesn't matter what you're going to say in the interview. If you're late, that's disrespectful to the interviewer, and you've already lost the game, and you haven't even gotten in the door yet.
Absolutely. Well, I'd like to share that point, especially because I know that there are a lot of parents on the line who have teens with ADHD or other challenges with time. And so I'm glad you shared that and how important that is. And one last thing I wanted to ask you, because I know we're getting short on time here, is just we've talked a lot about what you do and how you help students. Do you specifically focus on teens in Atlanta, or if people are listening who aren't in the Atlanta area, can you help them as well?
Actually, Maggie, that brings up a great point. You know, I'm seeing it more and more frequently that a lot of internship for, I would say, teens in college that are interviewing for summer internship, so many more interviews now are done via video or over the phone. And so I do work remotely with lots of students. I've worked with professionals and students in Europe. My company has worked with students in South Africa. And learning to present and work over technology and present yourself over technology rather than face-to-face is as important as knowing how to sit in a room and have a conversation, you know, arm to arm or, you know, face to face with somebody. So I do work with people from basically all over the world. I can work with anybody, and I use a lot of different technology to make that happen. And, you know, just being able to speak over the phone and present yourself when you're not looking at someone in the eye is a skill in and of itself, and one that as our world gets bigger is necessary, and to do it well is imperative.
Great. Well, and I'm so glad you shared that about the importance of understanding not just presenting yourself in person, but also through technology, because I know that is becoming so common. And even for college interviews, sometimes doing those interviews digitally or remotely rather than in person sometimes is happening. So I know we've shared a lot of really great tips with people today about helping to develop those interview skills, what to start talking with your teens about, and the foundations of these skills. I also know there's a lot more that you have to share that we didn't even get to touch on today. So we had talked about a gift that you were going to present for our listeners. Did you want to tell them a little bit more about that? It was about those interview tips for college interviews.
Right, exactly. For those of you who would like to visit me if you just shoot me an email at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, at ProformU, that would be capital P-R-O-F-O-R-M, the letter U, .com, you will be able to, you will be redirected to a link that will give you my top 10 college interview tips. And I've done so much preparation for college interviews and prepped so many young people that I have figured out what the top 10 things are that they need to know. And it's a very brief cheat sheet for anybody going on a college interview that will make sure that you are prepared and not caught off guard.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that, Elaine. And again, everyone who's listening, you can get a copy of that on our event page as well. So if you just go to unstoppableteams.com/event and scroll down to where Elaine's interview is presented, you'll see a link that will take you to those top 10 tips for college interviews. And that's a great resource because that is something that students are going to need to do at any point. And those are transferable skills. So anything you're using to prepare for a college interview, if they have a part-time job interview, if they have a scholarship interview, if they have a high school entrance interview for trying to get into a private school, these are skills that are useful for them in any of those contexts. So if you have anything like that coming, or even if you don't, but you think you might in the future, go ahead and grab a copy of Elaine's gift, and then you'll have it when you need it. So you'll be prepared.
Exactly. Exactly. You will be prepared.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Elaine, for sharing that. We're going to be hosting the replay from this interview today for 48 hours. If you want to go back and listen to it again, you can visit unstoppableteams.com/event and listen to any parts of it you would like for the next 48 hours. And if you know that you are going to want to keep this forever, you want lifetime access to all of our interviews, you can get a copy of that with our Unstoppable Teams Success Package. So this is a resource we've put together for you, which includes all of the recordings from every single one of our speakers from the event, which you can download to your computer, to your iPhone, and you can listen to them whenever you would like, forever. So you've got a copy of those to own. You also will have transcripts from each interview, so you can download those and print them out if you prefer to read, or maybe you want to just skim through really quickly and pick out some of the highlights that you want to remember. That's sometimes easier to do on a printed copy than it is to do with an audio. So that will be available for you as well. We're going to have also a PDF summary guide of all the interviews and bonus gifts from several of our speakers. So we will have all of that put together for you as part of our Unstoppable Teen Success Package. You can get a copy of it at unstoppableteens.com/event. And that's normally a $197 package, but we're actually taking $100 off during our event. So you can get it for just $97 at unstoppableteens.com/event. So thank you so much again for joining us, Elaine. This has been a great interview, and I think on a really important topic. So I'm really glad we had you here to share your insights with us today.
My pleasure. It has been my pleasure to speak with you today, Maggie.
And everyone who's been here with us today, thank you so much for joining in and for listening. I hope you got some great information today, and I hope you check out her bonus as well with those top 10 tips for college interviews and share that with your teen. It can really make a big impact when teens learn these skills and understand how do you present yourself at a job interview, at a college interview. It can make a huge impact and really set them up for success in the long term, which is what we're all about. So thank you again for spending this time with us, and I hope these ideas help you to raise happy, healthy, confident teens who truly are unstoppable.